Today on Real Radio.
Now look, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, down to verse 11. What happens when we listen to ourselves? This is what happens. We need to be careful because we take matters into our own hands, church. Things happen, and they're not good things. When we take matters into our own hands, it's natural for us as people to think, I'm going to take care of this issue. Guys rally to the potential that we can do something ourselves and then say, look what I've made.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 20. Remember, we're told more than once in this historical narrative that in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And this chapter demonstrates this once again. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study series called What Happens When We Listen to Us.
Did anybody miss last week? Raise your hand. You might have missed last week. Why did you miss? You stepped right into that one. Get the CD or listen online, click online and listen, because chapter 20 is not going to make much sense if you don't know what happened in chapter 19. Chapter 19 is grotesque. Some of you who were here last Wednesday wished you weren't have been here last Wednesday, because it's so ugly graphic. Judges chapter 19, sickening. And Judges 19 ends with what history teaches us is the pathology of nations and cultures and people when they forget about God. And in this case, it's the nation of Israel. According to the Bible, nations are fragile things. I don't know if you realize that or not. Governments, you would think in your mind, we get deceived, I think, by the magnitude of government, especially those of us in America. We have a tendency to look at our great monuments and think, wow, America's been here forever and America's going to be here forever. No way, Jose. It's not going to happen. The Bible says nations come and go. The Bible says that God himself creates nations and destroys nations. It doesn't have to be that way, but nations go by way of a cycle, and the book of Judges is a tremendous chronology of how Israel would go through its cycle of being near to God and then ultimately far from God. And you see this ebb and flow as it were a death of a nation. And regarding Israel, no other nation on the planet can boast this, no other nation. But Israel, just when you think Israel is completely destroyed and has been vanquished from the earth for 2,000 years, bounces back exactly as God's Bible says it would. Israel, God says, is the apple of his eye, and Israel as a nation will not cease to exist. It's the only nation in all of the world, in all of history, in all of the Bible, that has that absolute promise of God. Not America, but Israel. And so regarding the death of a nation, it never happens, by the way, overnight. A nation doesn't die overnight, but what does happen is that it goes through its process of dying while people are asleep. And I mean asleep in apathy. And that's a very serious thing, because apathy is something that's brought on, and we'll see this in chapter 20. It brings on an apathetic attitude, which when it's awakened without God goes into an almost violent attitude. We're going to see a portion of scripture tonight of civil war among the tribes of Israel. And we can learn a lot from this. This has been a tremendous book relating to our times here in America and in the world. But tonight's message is entitled, What Happens When We Listen to Us? What happens when we listen to us? When we listen to our own counsel? What happens to us? It's a very serious thing. And as I said, it's sad to see a nation die. But sometimes when a nation forgets about God, maybe that nation needs to die. It needs to go through a process and by the grace of God be resurrected. Way back in Judges 17, verse 6, There, the Bible says, in those days there was no king or God-led leader in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You can take Judges 17, verse 6, and slap across their situational ethics. That's what that comes out of. When there's no true statesmanship or leadership, you have what's called situational ethics. And we've mentioned that before in previous studies. It leads to a cultural breakdown and anarchy and ultimately rebellion in a society. And it doesn't take a spiritual Einstein, by the way, to figure out that the United States, if it doesn't wake up, is approaching its near-death experience. And what the founding fathers founded can scarcely be found today. We're losing our freedoms because America is losing its understanding of where it's come from. The Bible says in book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 7, by way of introduction, Jeremiah 18, 7, it says, if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I, God, will relent and not inflict on it the disaster that I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight, mark that, Christian, God says if a nation or a people does evil in my sight, not your sight, not Jack's sight, but God's sight, he says, and does not obey me, then I will reconsider that good that I've intended to do for it, and I'll bring it to destruction. So chapter 19 ends with this verse 30, with a haunting exhortation, which launches us right into the 20th chapter. Look at verse 30 of chapter 19. And again, if you were not here, you missed a violently grotesque chapter of the Bible. Verse 30, when the nation began to hear what had happened, so it was that all who saw it, that is, saw the 12 FedEx UPS delivery boxes of this hacked up woman in 12 pieces delivered to each of the 12 tribes of Israel that had been raped to death by the men of that city. When they had all there saw what happened, they said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. And then three things they said. It's an exhortation. Consider it, confer, and speak up. That's how chapter 19 ends. And we left right here at this point. The old King James Version Bibles puts it this way in verse 30. Take advice and speak your minds. The NIV reads this way. Think about it, consider it, tell us what to do. The New Living Translation says, shouldn't we speak up and do something about this? And the New American Standard Bible says, consider it, take counsel, and speak up. Chapter 19, verse 30 says, look around at what's going on. Take counsel, get up, and do something about it. Engagement, very powerful. Now look, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, down to verse 11. What happens when we listen to ourselves? This is what happens. We need to be careful because we take matters into our own hands, church. Things happen, and they're not good things. When we take matters into our own hands, it's natural for us as people to think, I'm going to take care of this issue. Guys, rally to the potential that we can do something ourselves and then say, look, what I've made. Did you guys ever see that movie called Castaway with Tom Hanks? There's a scene in that movie, and it's just like the male spirit, and it's dangerous because when we begin to take things into our own hands, we can get in trouble. And there's a scene there where Tom Hanks is on the beach. I wouldn't have remembered this, but I just saw the movie the other day. And Tom Hanks finally, on that stranded island, starts fire. Remember? And he starts burning palm branches, and he's got this huge, raging, blazing fire on the beach. And he goes, fire, me, fire, I make fire. And he's doing this thing and pounding his chest. Why? Because I'm a man, and I took the situation into my own hands, and on this deserted island, I've made fire. Well, if we're not too careful, we could really trip up as any one of us in this room could come to the conclusion, I can take care of this myself. The tribes are going to do that. I can do this myself. Watch what happens. Very dangerous. Judges 20, verse 1. So all the children of Israel read chapter 19, verse 30. They came out from Dan to Beersheba, as well as from the land of Gilead, and the congregation gathered together as one man. So they're unified on what they're about to do in hearing of this atrocity. Before the Lord, they gathered at Mizpah, and the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. That's only foot soldiers who handled swords. There's a lot more than that. These are just 400,000 swordsmen. They had different weaponry and different guys for different applications of warfare. Just to show you the scope of this, they have 400,000 swordsmen alone. Now, the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. So now you got the tribes. Remember, this thing that's gone on, the tribes are going to get very upset of what's happened in one of their own tribes. How could Israel be allowing this? And this great evil will be their cry here in a moment. So it says that the children of Israel said, tell us, how did this wicked deed happen? So the Levite, and you all know the story from chapter 19, the husband of the woman who was murdered, she was raped to death, answered and said, my concubine and I went to Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Gibeah rose up against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. Read the chapter 19. The Bible there tells you that they were all homosexual men who came out to get him, not his concubine. And we studied about what a concubine was. They didn't want his concubine, they wanted him. And they even said so. They said, hey, we want that guy who came into this place tonight, and we want to have intercourse with him. And so the man who was allowing this visitor and his concubine to be there thrust the woman out. And so they handled her instead, and it's a horrible scene. And so he's recounting the story. They ravaged my concubine so that she died. Verse 6, so I took hold of my concubine, and I cut her in pieces. That's after she was dead. That's an important point. And sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you, our children of Israel, give your advice and counsel, and hear now. Verse 8, so all the people rose as one man, saying, here they go, none of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house, but now this is the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot. We're going to pull straws and see who goes up first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. We will take 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of every 1,000, 1,000 out of every 10,000 to make provisions for the people, that when they come to Gibeah and Benjamin, they may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united together as one man. Civil war is on the brink of breaking out. Number one, it's because lawlessness has now taken over the land. Anarchy's gone, it's gone crazy. And instead of the nation seeking God and asking God, what should we do? Remember, Israel is in a horrific state of decline. They're not praying. They're not seeking God. Remember a couple of chapters ago? They were out creating their own little shrines and idols. And instead of going down to Shiloh and worship the Lord where ministry was approved of by God, where the ark was, they said, no, we don't want to make the trip. It's not worth the drive. We'll just create our own little idols and bow down to these gods we make. Idolatry is in our hearts, you guys. We idolize things. It's true. Isn't it funny when things begin to get a grip on our lives, they tend to alter the way that we act and the things that we say. It's true. It's pretty hard to act all cocky and arrogant when you're driving, you know, a 73 Pinto. Now, you young people, you a pinto. Is that a bean? What is that? Ford Motor Company wishes it was just a bean, but it was a car that came out a long time ago. And no one struts around driving something like that. That's pretty, it's a pretty humbling looking thing. Or a matador. What? Horrifically ridiculous vehicles created probably by Satan himself. You couldn't have a proud bone in your body if you drove such a thing. The other day I was meeting with a brother here at church at Starbucks, and a guy pulled up and you could hear him coming. And all of us, it was a Ferrari. The guy gets out. And we're like, I'm not jealous. I'm not coveting. I don't want to ride in it. I don't know what that feels like. I don't want to know. It was amazing. That kind of stuff can grab hold of your heart. That kind of stuff can seize you. And when you begin to take the world, as it were, into your own hands, you've got the proverbial tiger by the tail. Feel pretty good about it. You can get independent from God, and Israel had gotten far from God, and they were doing things on their own. And here, what is going to happen is going to break out in a historic event. It's going to lead to civil war. There's a warning to us here. As a nation, any nation that we might be speaking to through this message right now, when God is not feared or sought or pursued, then according to the Bible and human history, man will begin to do whatever's right in his own eyes. And I will create a humanistic, secular environment whereby there's no value. Your life is not valuable to me. You don't add anything to me. So why should you take up space that I want? And people put guns to other people's heads. People take machetes and kill people. You're in my way. And this is going on in many parts of the world. You say, how can that happen? You're still living under the blessings of a Judeo-Christian culture. If you're thinking, how could that ever happen? You're naive. I'm kind of glad about that in a way. But tell that to the people who were once of Rwanda. Tell that to the Sudanese, right? Tell that to those in Darfur. Where God is not present in the minds of men, people go nuts. And life is not important. Now, Deuteronomy 13. Now, mark it down. Deuteronomy 13, 12 through 18. You can read it in totality. I'll just paraphrase it. But Deuteronomy 13, 12 through 18 warns that when a people, a person, or a nation gets away from God, things begin to happen. And there in Deuteronomy 13, the Bible warns there about the penalty that will befall someone regarding spiritual deception, two things, spiritual deception and sexual corruption. You guys, I don't want to freak you out, but the Bible says in Deuteronomy that when you deceive people spiritually and when you abuse them sexually, the Bible says in Deuteronomy that you're to be put to death if you're the perpetrator of that crime. Did you know in the Bible it talks about those who rape someone? If you're a rapist, the Bible says you're to be put to death. That's pretty serious stuff. You say, yeah, putting somebody to death, that's pretty serious stuff. No, I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about raping somebody. You guys, I cannot begin to tell you enough to communicate it clear enough that the God of the Bible is the absolute antithesis of rape. Rape is forced. Rape is perpetrated. Rape is, you will go this route if you like it or not. Rape, is there any choice in rape? No. It's only the lording of power and brutality, the exploitation for gratification upon a victim. Okay? When you look at every other religion in the world and or cult, I want you to think for a moment. that in Deuteronomy 13, the Bible warns that spiritual deception and physical sexual abuse are mentioned, and the penalty is the same. Why is that? Because listen, both of those things, sexuality and spirituality, are united. And when you abuse someone spiritually by deceiving them, a false prophet, a false teacher, leading someone astray, the Lord goes bananas crazy on this. And he says, I will judge that false prophet. In fact, my goodness, read the New Testament. The Bible says that all those who teach the Bible in the book of James on the day of judgment will be judged with a harder judgment than anyone else. So you better stick to the book. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Now, isn't it interesting that the Bible says, Paul says to the church at Corinth, anyone who sins sexually sins against his own soul or his own body. And it doesn't say that about robbing banks. I mean, don't get me wrong. You should not go rob a bank. I know in this current financial crisis, it might be a tempting thing to do. Don't do that. You rob a bank, you go to jail or you get shot. But apparently, you're not sinning against your soul if you do that. But you commit sexual sin, and the Bible says you're sinning against your soul. There is something so serious by our very creation that God has made us, that sexual sin somehow affects us spiritually, and spiritual deception is like rape. Isn't that interesting? You say, Jack, you're freaking me out. Not so. It's spiritual. Something happens. And when those things are not maintained, corruption sets in. Deception sets in. When a marriage isn't healthy and those things are not going on, when he's not praying for her and they're not together physically and they're not loving on each other, guess what happens? Temptation knocks on your door. Temptation will walk up. She'll be flirting with him at the office, or he'll be looking at her over there at the store. Dangerous stuff goes on. Watch out. The Bible warns. But the scriptures talk to us serious things about this. These guys now are going to say, that's it. This evil thing has been done. It's a very emotionally driven thing. This is wrong. They had the right call. It was wrong what was happening. Let's take it into our own hands and let's fix it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Happens When We Listen to Us. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapter 20 of the Old Testament book of Judges, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are beginning to near the end of this Old Testament narrative, which really speaks of the volatility of the nation of Israel, and quite obviously, there are many parallels to today's society in which we live. Well, now we're offering Pastor Jack's series of the book of Judges all on one convenient MP3 CD. And here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it your way. Just be sure and mention the Book of Judges on MP3 CD, whether you call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and once you're there, you'll know where to click. Realradioactive.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.